Okay, so check your calendar. It is February 2026.
Right.
If I had told you, say, 5 years ago, that we'd be doing a deep dive on tokenized real estate,
I would have been skeptical.
you probably would have thought, it's just a bunch of day traders flipping digital tokens like meme stocks.
And that wasn't an unfair assumption back then. It really felt a bit like the Wild West.
All hype, lots of buzzwords.
Exactly. The tech was interesting, but the rules were, let's say, optional.
But that's the thing. Here we are, 2026, and the entire script has flipped.
Completely.
And that's the core of our deep dive today. We're looking at a ton of research that says this isn't a novelty anymore. It's become something surprisingly serious.
And serious really comes down to the players involved. We are not talking about speculators on a forum.
Right. We're talking about institutions. And let's just define that, because institutional gets thrown around a lot to make things sound important.
We're talking about the heavy hitters, asset managers, pension funds, family offices,
The kinds of firms that are conservative by nature, risk averse.
deeply risk averse. They have fiduciary duties. They can't just gamble with other people's money. And yet the source material shows they are actively examining the space.
So that's our mission today. We need to figure out why. Why are these giants taking this seriously now? And spoiler alert,
Yeah.
it is not because they want digital art.
Far from it. It's because the space started offering the things they actually care about: stability, governance, and, well, efficiency.
Okay, so here's the roadmap. We're going to get into that institutional mindset. We'll break down the checklist they use to vet these
And
things.
then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of custody and compliance.
And then we'll look at a platform that keeps coming up in the research, Osol Gamma, as a sort of case study for this whole trend.
It's a fascinating shift. Less about crypto, more about structural evolution.
Let's start with that mindset. The sources all say institutions aren't driven by hype, but come on, there has to be a little bit of FOMO, right? Fear of missing out.
You'd think so, but the data suggests that's not the primary driver. If you're managing a pension fund, you are not looking for a rocket ship.
You're looking for predictability.
Predictability, stability, transparency, and what we call risk-adjusted returns. They prefer low risk and just steady, boring returns.
So when we hear institutional adoption in 2026, what does that actually look like? Are they buying up whole city blocks on the blockchain?
No, and that's a really important distinction the research makes. Adoption here isn't, wholesale allocation. It's not an aggressive buying spree.
It's more careful.
Much more. It's evaluation. It's pilot allocations.
So dipping a toe in the water, not a cannonball.
Exactly. It's structural due diligence. They're testing the pikes to make sure everything flows right before they turn on the main valve.
But hold on, the tech to do this, to tokenize things, it's been around for years. Why wasn't the pension fund interested back then? What actually changed?
The whole legal and structural framework around it changed. In the past, the pitch was all about technical capability. Look, we can put a building on a blockchain.
But it lacked legal enforceability.
That's the key. You had a token, but what did it mean in the eyes of a judge?
Was it just a digital receipt for nothing?
Pretty much. Now, in 2026, the structures are built around recognized legal entities. The tokens represent a defined economic interest in an SPV, a special purpose vehicle, that actually holds the property.
So the token is just a digital wrapper around a very traditional, very boring legal structure.
That's the bridge. That's what they needed. A new way to hold assets they already understood inside a framework they could legally defend.
And that gets us to efficiency. That word is everywhere in the notes. But what does it mean specifically for a fund manager?
It's the back-end stuff, the plumbing. In traditional real estate, just settling a trade or distributing dividends is a manual nightmare.
Faxes, PDFs, spreadsheets.
It's slow, it's expensive, and it's full of potential for human error. Tokenization automates a lot of that. Smart contracts can handle dividend distribution. The ledger updates ownership instantly.
So it improves the plumbing without changing the water.
For an institution managing thousands of positions, that operational saving is it's massive.
Okay, so let's get to the checklist. This is what I found fascinating. If I'm an institutional investor and a tokenized real estate deal lands on my desk, what am I looking for? How is my list different from a retail investor's?
Well, a retail investor often looks at the top line first. What's my potential return?
Can this 10x?
Right. An institution looks at the structure first. They need predictability. So item number one is always structure and documentation.
They need to know exactly what they're buying.
Exactly. What rights does this token give me? How is income distributed? And the big one, is it legally enforceable in a jurisdiction I trust? If the answer is just code is law, they walk.
It has to be boringly legal.
Boringly legal is the best compliment you can give it. Then you get to risk management. This is huge. They want to see a separation of risks.
Break that down. Separation of risks.
Well, you have the risk of the property itself. Maybe tenants leave. Maybe the market turns. That's normal.
Sure, that's just real estate.
But they have to make sure that is completely separate from, say, platform risk.
Meaning if the website that issued the tokens goes bust.
You don't lose the building.
Right.
Precisely. They want what's called bankruptcy remoteness. The asset has to be in its own legal bucket, safe from the tech provider.
And transparency fits in here too, I imagine. But isn't the whole point of a blockchain that it's transparent?
Yes, the ledger of transactions is transparent, but they need the asset data to be transparent. You can have a perfect record of a token moving, but if you don't know how the building itself is being valued, it's useless. They need consistent valuation methods, clear reporting standards.
So if the platform can't report clearly, the institution just can't invest.
Their own compliance department won't let them.
The source material also mentioned time horizon, which surprised me. I always think of tokens as something you trade quickly.
And that's a big misconception that, frankly, hurt the industry early on. Institutions are not day traders. They have medium to long-term perspectives.
They're looking for yield.
Sustainable income. This actually aligns perfectly with real estate. It's a long-term game.
So they're not looking for a real estate NASDAQ.
Not really. They're looking for a more efficient way to hold a 10-year asset.
Okay, one more point on the checklist that I thought was brilliant. Internal alignment, which sounds like corporate speak.
It is, but it's the hurdle that kills most deals in the real world.
How so?
Even if an investment is great on paper, it has to fit into the institution's existing machinery. Their investment committees, their reporting systems. If this tokenized asset creates what they call operational friction,
like it needs a special spreadsheet or a weird crypto wallet,
it's dead on arrival. It has to look and feel like a standard financial product on the back end, even if the tech underneath is new. It has to plug right into their dashboard.
This all leads to what you call the trust layer, compliance and custody. This feels like where the rubber meets the road.
It absolutely is. By 2026, the successful platforms are the ones built within existing securities regulations, not trying to get around them.
So the whole, we're a DAO, the rules don't apply things over.
For institutional money, that era is long gone. They need to know who the custodian is. And custody here isn't just holding a digital key.
What's the distinction?
Well, if a hacker steals a key, do they now own the building? In a pure crypto world, maybe. In the institutional world, absolutely not.
The legal truth is what matters.
And the custodian is legally responsible for ensuring those ownership records are secure and the assets are segregated. Plus, you need oversight, audits, third-party verification.
All the boring stuff.
It's the boring stuff that makes it safe enough for a pension fund to even consider.
It's so funny. To get this cutting-edge tech adopted, it had to learn to behave like a traditional old-school instrument.
That's the paradox, yeah.
Okay, let's shift to strategy. So an institution gets comfortable with the plumbing. How does an asset like this actually fit into their massive portfolio?
They don't look at it in isolation. The aha moment for a lot of them comes down to one word. Granularity.
Granularity. Why does a billion-dollar fund care about being granular?
Because in traditional real estate, your choices are often binary. You buy the whole $100 million building, or you don't.
Or you buy into a huge blind pool fund.
Right, where you get a slice of everything but control over nothing. Tokenization lets them make smaller, more precise allocations into specific assets.
So instead of writing a $100 million check for a building in Tokyo just to get exposure to that market,
they can buy $5 million worth of tokens representing that specific asset. It lets them test the waters.
And I guess that leads right into diversification.
It does. They can access different property types, different regions, without the massive operational headache of direct ownership. Owning a building in another country is a nightmare.
Local teams, local lawyers.
Holding a token that represents an economic interest in that building is just, it's cleaner.
Okay, we have to talk about liquidity again. You said they're long-term holders, but the big promise of tokens is that you can sell them instantly, right?
That's the liquidity reality check the research talks about. Even though it's a token, institutions know it's tied to an illiquid physical asset.
You can't sell a skyscraper in a nanosecond just because you digitize the deed.
And the token's behavior should reflect that. They understand the price is driven by property performance, not meme stock volatility. They do not treat this as a highly liquid instrument.
So it's seen as complementary to what they already do.
Exactly, an incremental addition, not a replacement for their traditional funds.
Let's ground this with the example you mentioned, Ocel Gamma. Why is this platform the poster child for this 2026 trend? What are they doing right?
Well, Ocel Gamma seems to have built their entire model around the institutional checklist we just went through. They didn't build for the crypto enthusiasts, they built for the suits.
So how does their structure work?
First, alignment. The properties are all held in clearly defined legal entities, these SPVs. So your digital token represents a documented economic share of that specific entity. There's no ambiguity.
It's a security, not some vague governance token.
It is a security. And yes, they went heavy on the boring stuff. Transparency is a huge selling point for them. Automated reporting on income, costs, asset performance.
And they establish governance processes up front.
Right. It reduces the reliance on human discretion. The rules for, say, when dividends are paid out are programmed in. A manager can't just decide to hold on to the cash for a bit.
That's huge. And their regulatory stance.
They align with requirements instead of trying to avoid them. That's the enforceability factor. A pension fund knows exactly where they stand legally. They basically took that institutional wish list and turned it into a product.
Okay, so if Ocel Gamma and others have cracked the code and the benefits are there, why isn't every single fund doing this? What's the holdup?
It's the internal friction. We talked about it, but it's the biggest barrier. Institutional investment committees are slow.
Ishal.
I mean, really slow. Even with a perfect product, you need board approval. You have to explain to a board of directors who might be in their 60s or 70s what a tokenized asset is.
That's the learning curve. It's not about the asset itself. It's about the container it comes in.
That's a great way to put it. And then you have jurisdictional issues. The rules might be clear in London, but murky in New York. A global fund needs global clarity.
So the tech is ready. The humans are just catching up.
That's pretty much it.
So the big question for the future then, is this going to change real estate markets forever?
The consensus from the sources is yes and no.
Okay.
It will definitely increase standardization and bring more discipline to the market, but it won't change the fundamental nature of property investing.
A bad building is still a bad building, even if it's on the blockchain.
Precisely. The fundamentals still drive performance. The digital layer doesn't fix a leaky roof.
That's a really grounding way to look at it. We've moved from the magic wand phase of this tech to the better power drill phase. It's just a better tool.
That's a perfect analogy. It removes friction costs, but it doesn't remove the investment reality.
All right, so let's just recap where we've been. Yeah. We started with this idea that 2026 is the year institutions stopped laughing at tokenization.
And started auditing it. We saw they're driven by stability and governance, not hype, and have a rigorous checklist.
We look at how compliance and custody form that trust layer, and how platforms like Ocel Gamma are winning by being intentionally boring.
And we acknowledge that it's all happening at the speed of a committee meeting, not the speed of the internet.
Which, honestly, is probably a good thing when we're talking about people's pensions.
Absolutely. You don't want to move fast and break things with retirement funds.
So I want to leave you with one final thought. We spent this whole deep dive talking about tokenization as this separate, special thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if institutions are just using it to make real estate more reliable and more efficient, does the digital layer eventually just become the standard?
That's the end game, isn't it?
We don't say digital music anymore. We just say music. Will we get to a point where we don't say tokenized real estate? It's just real estate. And the tech is just the invisible plumbing underneath.
I think so. The best technology is the kind you stop noticing because it just works. When the blockchain becomes as boring and as useful as a spreadsheet, that's when you'll know it's truly one.
Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time.